Blog Talk Radio.
Entourage is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, good evening. How are you, sir?
Fine, Mr. Allen. How are you doing? I understand we
great.
Are expecting an outstanding, exciting program tonight. We have a guest with us from Cincinnati, Ohio. We will have a call coming in at about 10 minutes to 9 or thereabouts. With regards to what is the talk of the nation, the shooting death of two journalists and the wounding of the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce there in Roanoke, Virginia. And so we have a pretty impactful show. We have stuff going on in the international scene. Looks like the situation in North and South Korea has gotten straightened out for the minute. But we have a guest with us, Mr. Allen. Why don't you introduce him and bring it into play?
Yes. Today I received a message on social media from this gentleman that a federal judge had subpoenaed the president of the National NAACP, President Cornell William Brooks. And I wanted to know a little bit more about this and to get in detail, so I turned to the gentleman who actually sent me the information, and Mr. Jim Klingman, and he's with us tonight live. And Mr. Klingman, can you come on in, step right in? Hello and welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Ron. You too, Don.
All right.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can you explain to us a little bit about what's going on with this subpoena, what happened, and what led up to this? I know you've been keeping track on your journalism blog and other things, but go ahead, sir, please.
Well, the case in Cincinnati between the local branch and the national office has been going on since November of 2013, when we were supposed to have an election. Let's see, was it 13? Or, no, it was 14, I'm sorry. And Gil Ford, the national representative for the branches, came to town or sent a letter and canceled the election following a series of letters and phone calls and notes and other communications coming from the head of the Election Supervisory Committee, who is the son of one of the candidates who's running and who also was appointed rather than elected to that position. After a lot of back and forth about where, you know, the election being changed, the venue, the time, the day, and the day of the week, the local branch filed for a temporary restraining order in local court to stop what would have been a huge case of voter suppression put forth by the national office. The day before the election, or 2 days before, the TRO was approved, granted, and the election was stopped by the local court in Cincinnati. A lot of things played out between that time and about a month ago, back and forth in court, and the opposite side against whom the TRO was filed, along with Bill Ford, had come to town and been deposed and testified, and my assumption is that they knew they were losing, because the local judge told them that he was taking over the authority of the local branch.
Wow.
He would,
this is
he would,
Mr. Edwards, Ron Edwards here. The judge actually technically placed them under court supervision and receivership? Boy, they haven't been talking about that. Continue on, please, sir.
Well, the court took over the local activities of the branch and said he was going to have a hearing on it and decide, you know, make a ruling on what would take place thereafter, mm-hmm. as far as the election goes. Mm-hmm. The original complaint was that we wanted a fair election. Mm-hmm. Bill Ford and the other guy that was running, his name is Rob Richardson, along with his son, Rob Jr., and some others, were trying very hard to suppress votes within the membership, as well as purge the membership list of 100 or more members that they knew would be voting against them. So in the meantime, up until about a month ago, the national office decided to file a lawsuit against the local branch.
Now, this would have been in federal court or still staying in state court?
They went to federal court. I'm
that's where they made
they
the mistake.
Get a
go right ahead,
break.
Sir. Go right
exactly
ahead.
Right, bro.
yeah, that's good. That's it. Man, go right ahead, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah. after they had suspended the local president here, and I shouldn't say they, Gil Ford sent a letter to Mr. Ishton Morton, who's the local president. First of all, he sent it on December 12th of 2014, saying you are suspended. The election was supposed to be held the very next day. So in essence, they were trying to eliminate the opposition for the competition for the office of president because there weren't but two running, so
mm-hmm.
that they could then put their guy in, who
mm-hmm.
was Rob Richardson.
Okay.
Yeah, they filed a TRO against the local branch to keep the local branch from doing a press conference in which they were going to talk about how to reduce the violence in Cincinnati.
And you've had some serious violence there as a federal monitor, I'm aware of.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you've had some very, very serious. But go ahead, sir. I periodically for the information of our listening audience, our vast listening audience, both domestically and internationally, just want to indicate that you folks have had a real struggle in Cincinnati. But go right ahead.
Oh,
sir.
Yeah, yeah. So they filed the TRO in federal court, and within that legal document, there were accusations against the president, the treasurer, and another executive committee member. Mm-hmm. That they had committed fraud and embezzlement.
Oh yeah.
They were accused of changing the name of the local branch and incorporating it. Now, understand that the local branch has been incorporated for decades.
Right.
All they did was to go and change the names on the checking account and refile the papers that you have to file in the bank. Because I was president, and my name had to be taken off the checking account. Well, you know the procedure.
Yes, sir.
They deemed that to be fraud and filed a lawsuit saying the local president and the local branch was changing the name of the organization and infringing on the national's copyright,
mm-hmm.
trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nothing on the checks changed. The name has always been the same. Nothing was changed. So in addition to that, they were accused of embezzling money, which was also a lie. But they filed it in federal court. They had a hearing. After a couple of hearings and filings, the federal judge herself said, I'm going to mediate this. Because she began to see she began to see both sides.
Yes.
And now, after the last hearing, she has subpoenaed Cornell Brooks, whose name, of course, was signed to the original suspension.
Right.
But they deposed him on the local, on the local court. They went to Baltimore and deposed him.
Mm-hmm.
Went to St. Louis and deposed Gil Ford, who just absolutely told them he didn't remember anything. Every answer, I don't recall.
What was he doing, sir? James, let me ask you this: what was he doing in St. Louis? His offices are in Baltimore. I mean, I know St. Louis is his old stomping ground.
Yeah, I think he just happened to be there, and they said, well, we'll come to St. Louis. The
okay.
second time,
okay.
since he defied and wouldn't answer any questions, they went back to the local judge and told him what happened, and he ordered him to be deposed again in Maryland, from what I understand.
Okay. okay.
But the big deal was to get Cornell Brooks deposed, and the mm-hmm. federal judge ordered that and subpoenaed him to come to the hearing tomorrow. Where everything will be laid out, both sides will be there, because the original hearing, the local president didn't have a new attorney. He couldn't use the same attorney that he had used on a local level.
Okay.
So he couldn't cross-examine everything they said about the embezzlement, the copyright.
Yeah.
But now, tomorrow, his attorney will be able to cross-examine everything that was said in the initial hearing in the federal court.
Okay.
And it's really looking like these guys and their shenanigans are really going to be exposed, because not only are they connected to this voter suppression issue, but they also have a point man who works for Rob Richardson, who is in the union that Richardson heads.
Yes, you talked about
he's
ago.
He's under investigation
okay.
right now. Mm-hmm. He's under investigation for election fraud. And in his deposition, he lied at every turn. Said he didn't even know who Richardson was. Yet, there are three checks signed by Richardson for $275,000 made out to this guy and his organization that he says was an education organization, but it turned out to be a political organization. So
there's something again you touched on almost a year ago. Go right ahead, sir. Continue.
Yeah,
this is
they're
good.
In big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I think the important thing for me and for other branches is that you got to fight these guys. Gil Ford makes up rules as he goes along. He's
yes,
a
he
dictator
does.
Over all the branches. He does whatever he wants to do. His boss, Claudia Withers, ignores any complaints that I have written to her. I've written several. So as long as he's allowed to run roughshod, to ride roughshod, you know, everything's going to continue where it is. So tomorrow, I think, will point out a lot of those flaws and a lot of his shenanigans and how he works and how he makes up his rules and wipes out rules whenever it's convenient for him to, you know, get his own candidate in local
yes.
branches.
Yes,
and
he's
it's been
tyrant.
All over
the man
country.
Is a tyrant. He's nothing. Gail Ford is
yeah.
nothing but a tyrant and a shyster.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He has shown that. He showed it when I was president. He showed it previous president before me. But we got to stand up to these folks. Why should we give our money to a national organization and they won't deal with a guy like Ford?
Right, right.
So we just put money together, hired the attorney, and we fought them every year. They thought we were going to back down. They thought by going to federal court we would back away. They thought by saying, well, you embezzled and you committed fraud, we
yes.
would back up.
And that is
but
a consistent pattern across the country with these characters. Be
yeah.
it Houston, Texas, or Spokane,
mm-hmm.
Washington, or Minneapolis, St.
Yeah.
Paul, or
yeah.
Blytheville, Arkansas.
Right.
I've seen Gail Ford maneuver, and of course, Mr. Allen, my associate, will indicate that I was actually a target. I've seen
mm-hmm.
Gail Ford use the police departments in different cities to intimidate mm-hmm. and render injury upon people. I mean, this is the way this
wow.
character, and I've known Gail Ford since 2000 and 2001, and the,
mm-hmm.
the man, I just cannot understand what he holds over board members of the National NAACP.
I don't either. I
have no
that.
Idea. Mm-hmm.
Yep, yeah. I don't get that.
Okay.
I pulled out a lot of information from different newspapers over the past 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled one from a newspaper in Texas, in Marshall, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a quote that Gil Ford said. And he said, if there's anything wrong with this nation, it's because we've quit holding people accountable. Now, he said that.
Right.
And that indicts, he's indicted by his own words.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes.
no one holds him accountable. Until these branches just stand up to this guy and stand up to Brooks and let him know, let
mm-hmm.
Brooks know what's going on, Ford is going to continue.
Yes.
Let
me do this.
I want to
make
stand up and stop this guy.
Let me ask you a couple of questions because you had said something early on that is extremely important in this venue, if you will, because we have a NAACP president here in the Minneapolis branch who was a party and worked closely with Reverend Ford and actually was involved in discussions to not only have the police called on me, you know, but if necessary, injure me if the circumstances were right. Of course, they weren't, and they misread the relationship as it pertains to the local police here. But I know how cowardly and yet dangerous these people can be. You said to us that the branch had attempted to call a press conference to talk about the violence and the death
they were
of the Americans in Cincinnati.
And
you mean that those Negroes, Gail Ford and Brooks and others, moved to block a press conference to talk in terms of the safety of the African-American community?
Yes.
Wow.
There's an article that was written, I think, on the front page of the Cincinnati Herald a couple of months ago when that happened. And all they were going to do is to tell the press we have an initiative, we want to move forward to try to, you know, stop some of this violence. Kids were getting shot and drive-bys and all that stuff. And they found a TRO to stop it, said he was misrepresenting the NAACP.
Right, right. And we have a president here, the Minneapolis branch, who is also the head of the Black Lives Matter, who never talk about black lives, and we have an epidemic of homicides and assaults here, and they refuse to stand up and say anything about the black youth that are dying here in our city. But the NAACP piece, and there is a coalition between Black Lives Matter and the local branches and the state conference here, to aid and abet, quote-unquote, the suppression, the real suppression of any kind of effort and undertaking to call attention to police misconduct. And like I said, I found myself the target. Of course, I had prepared and had necessary backup, but I found myself to have been a target. I was very disappointed that Mr. Ford, Reverend Ford, as he calls himself, would actually enter into discussions with state conference and other NAACP officials to actually do harm to a longtime activist, historian, and et cetera. I mean, and I'm talking about myself personally, so I want to kind of back away from that. It's too self-serving. But I know how dangerous and how vile Gail Ford is. I sometimes refuse to refer to him as a minister, particularly given the amount of adultery, that he's been involved in. But Mr. Allen, do you have any questions?
No, I just find it really interesting. So they'll be in court in Cincinnati tomorrow at 1 p.m.?
I didn't remember the time. 9:01, that's when they usually have court.
9:01, okay, gotcha. I just wanted to get that clear because I have people on Twitter hitting me up like crazy, asking me the time and things like that. So I'm just trying to relay the correct information back to them.
Yeah, the only message I got was that he was subpoenaed. And the last time I think it was at 9:00.
All right. Do you have the name of the federal judge who has placed the branch
her name
in
is,
and receivership?
DeLott.
Beg your pardon?
DeLott. It's spelled DLOTT.
All right.
DeLott.
All right.
Yep.
And she is a Caucasian or an African American or another race?
She's Caucasian.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Anything else?
She has a reputation of being very, very fair and level-headed. I think they felt that they could gain a political advantage with going to her court to file that charge.
Mm-hmm.
But she has thus far shown that she's fair and she's not, you know, going to be swayed just because they're in the union and, you know, all the connections.
Yes. We've seen that. We'd like to invite you back next week to update us, if you will.
Okay.
And if you would, I'm going to ask my associate, Mr. Allen, he's our communications expert, to confer with you tomorrow, Cincinnati time, to find out what happened, so that because we have other media platforms under our control, I want to make sure that this city knows what has happened and the level of corruption that is taking place.
Yeah. Right. Well, I have no problem letting you know when I find out. I'll let you know if she follows through tomorrow and does everything she has indicated she would do. It may be over, but it may continue as well, because the local case is still open, too.
At the state court level?
Yes.
Yes, very good. Very good. Nothing like a pincer movement for those of us that are military thinkers or have been in the military. Nothing like a pincer movement to strangle snakes. Oops, I'm
That's
sorry.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
All right, Mr.
Yeah,
Allen, anything
so
else from you?
Complaints. I hear so many complaints from people around the country. We cannot continue to allow this to happen through this organization. It's ludicrous, and we, you know, only we can stop it.
Yes. All right, sir.
All right,
thank you.
I appreciate
it. We'll be awaiting to hear from you officially on the air next Wednesday.
All right. Take care. Right,
thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mr. Allen, your reflections on this, because you have done battle with Gale Ford, and he was the source of an attempt to both slander you and to remove you from your position last year in the NAACP as a vice president and member of the executive committee. I mean, how are you feeling, Don, as you hear this information and how hard these folks and appears successfully have fought the power players of the NAACP? You there, Don?
I am here, Mr. Edwards. I'm right here.
Yeah,
loud and clear.
Yes,
I did. I heard your question in full, and I want to say my hat's off to Mr. Klingman and the group out there in Cincinnati, because we know from our experience here, and like I said, you and I both personally have dealt with foul procedures and stuff that is not in the books. Like just a couple days ago, Mr. Edwards, I sent an email to the state chair, W.C. Jordan, of the NAACP here in Minnesota, asking him, when is the election? Because when you have according to your branch bylaws, when you have a special election, that special election is to set up the branch, give it some legs to have another election where you can install the permanent 2-year or 3-year, however long it is, group of people, the president and all the staff. And he has yet to get back to me, but you have Dr. Professor Nikema Levy-Pounds talking about she's going to be in that position until 2016 and all this other stuff. So he was right. They make up their own rules from the national for who they like and who they don't like, you know. So
in fact,
it's
Mr. Allen, at the August meeting of the NAACP, the chairwoman, was supposed to serve formal notice that at the August meeting, a nominations committee would be selected and put in place. In the September meeting, that committee would report. In October, the nomination committee and the Committee on Elections would announce the slate of those eligible to run for president of the NAACP of Minneapolis. And on what, you know, would normally be the second Saturday of the month, which this branch meets on the first Tuesday, that the election would be held. None of that has taken place. I have the minutes, of their meeting, as well as we have sources planted inside of their operations. They have done none of that. And I'm shocked to hear that a law professor who should know better is saying that she is the president until 2016. She needs to go back and read the Constitution. But I guess for her purposes, the Constitution doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when you're using it as a backing for the Black Lives Matter, Yeah, she's going to do exactly what she wants to do.
By the way, they say they're going to lay in the streets over at the State Fair. Billy Bob and them have said that they'll be damned that that'll happen, and we should have an interesting confrontation over there, if you will.
Yeah.
By the way, I can understand the disregard for law of this law professor, because that was what the disappearance of $3 million, what was supposed to be the African-American Black Museum, that's what that was all about, wasn't it? She and her associates decided that there needed to be no accounting for that $3 million, which is gone. And by the way, we again send a shout-out to Roxanne Gibbons, who has relocated to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
to be close to the
museum.
Well,
there goes the museum.
Yeah, which has been on the crap tables and other places there in Vegas. But, Mr. Allen, we're expecting a call from out of Missouri. Do we have it at this point?
I will check right now, Mr. Edwards. No, I don't see it here as yet. But the phone lines are open, and that number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. And let me see here. I think we might have a caller here, Mr. Edwards. It looks like we have Brother James here, who has called in, a faithful listener. Brother James, how you doing tonight? Mr. Edwards? Mr. Edwards? Okay, we're having some technical difficulty. Mr. Edwards?